Okay, Parshas Vayakel begins with Moshe Rabbeinu gathering the people together to instruct them about Asiyas HaMishkan, but also at the same point in time, he begins by the statement, Sheishes Yamim Te'asem Melacha, that 6 days a week, work should be done. Now, in Parshas Yisro, there is mention of both Melacha and Avoda, but here, there's only mention of Melacha, Sheishes Yamim Te'asem Melacha, right? And no mention of Avoda, and the question has to be asked as to why that is. So Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, explained that Avoda and Malacha are very, very different. Avoda refers to work, that is to say, to the expansion of energy, because as we state, Adam le'amel yulad, man was born for the purpose, or created for the purpose of putting in amal, or Avoda, work. Malacha, on the other hand, refers to constructive activity, Malachas Machashevas, planned work. And the Torah tells us, Malachas Machashevas Asur Torah. The Torah doesn't forbid avoda work on Shabbos. It happens to be that midrabanan, avoda work, exertion, is forbidden, but midal reis, on a Torah-based level, only the Malachas Machashevas, only the constructive work, is asur. And so technically, the Torah only forbade Malacha, and thus, where the Mishkan is discussed, and the Mishkan, by definition, was constructive in purpose, the Torah cannot mention and does not mention the avoda part. That wasn't relevant. On the other hand, the Malacha part, from which, by the way, we derive many of the laws of Shabbos, belong in the context of the building of the Mishkan. So, Sheishes Yamim Te'asem Malacha is quite relevant to the issues of the building of the Mishkan. And then the pasuk continues to Vayoma Shvi Yelochem Kodesh. The seventh day is supposed to be Kodesh. So Rabelsky noted that Shabbos is mentioned twice in connection to the building of the Mishkan. In Parashas Kisisa, we mention the psukim of Vishamru Bnei Yisrael as Shabbos, Achashapsos Haitishmoru, at the end of all of the commands to build the Mishkan. And in Vayakel, it precedes all of the completion of the work. So why the change? Why all of a sudden is it something that comes first? Rabelsky Zatzal explained that both Shabbos and the Mishkan represent means through which a person can achieve Dveikus with Hashem. Shabbos represents the contemplation through abstention of worldly activity, while the Mishkan represents the power of doing. In other words, on Shabbos, if Shabbos is a means to connecting to Hashem by ceasing connection with the world, and the Mishkan is an opportunity to connect with Hashem through the process of getting involved in the world. It makes it a lot easier to focus in terms of building a relationship with Hashem, says Rabelsky, when you recognize that there's no aspect of human life that can't be elevated through some form of avodas Hashem. The Torah continues with the instructions about how to build the Mishkan. And the Torah tells us, V'chol chacham leibochem, and all the people who have chachma in their hearts from among you, yavo v'yasu eis kol asher tzivah Hashem. They should go and do everything that Hashem commanded. And many mefarshim point out that this becomes the source for the idea that mitzvahs need to be performed. They can't merely be contemplated in order for one to fulfill the will of Hashem. There's a famous comment that's quoted in the name of the great tzaddik, Rav Shimon of Marzalov, Zatzal, who explained that the ultimate of Chachma, the real genius of a human being, is the reality that one shouldn't be too much of a Chacham beyond that which is Asher Tziva Hashem. You can't outthink God. You can't outdo God. You can't out Chachma God. So it's more important for a person to realize that component in order for the person to be able to be successful. Okay. And then we're told, and the Nesiim brought the Abnei Shom, and Rashi cites a Medrash that notes that the Nesiim were derelict in their donation until it was too late for them to get involved. And that's why, in the context of the Seder, we find that the Nesiim, who brought the stones, the Yud is dropped from their name. Moshe Tzvi Neriah Zecher Tzadok Livracha noted that it wasn't the laziness per se that caused them to delay. They weren't lazy. Instead, the problem was they misjudged their people's interest and zeal in giving the money. They underestimated the excitement of the people in the project. And a leader who underestimates his people is not able to lead them. So therefore the word is read, instead of Hanasiim, it becomes Hanasium, or Hanisuim, those who were being led. Then the Torah tells us, Hashem commands Bezalel, Re'u kara Hashem b'tzeim Bezalel, Kadosh Baruch Hu called Bezalel, and gave him all the abilities. Then the Medrash comments that Moshe Rabbeinu was most impressed that Bezalel was Bezalel Kel Ha'Yisa, that he was in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the following manner. In Parshios Truma and Tetzaveh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells B'nai Yisrael, tells Moshe to tell B'nai Yisrael to first make an Aron, and only thereafter is he told to go ahead and put together the courtyard, the chatzir of the Mishkan. And when Bezalel goes ahead and achieves it, first he builds the chatzara Mishkan, and only thereafter the Torah tells us that he went ahead and made the Aron HaKodesh. And the Medrash comments that Moshe Rabbeinu was thrilled with this idea, and that recognizing that Bezalel must have been in the shade of Hashem to recognize that the logical deduction was there, that he needed to build the courtyard first in order to have a place to put the Aron once the Aron was already completed. So, Rav Pinchas Teitz asks the obvious question, that was just merely a logical component. Why does this recognize that he was Bezalel Kel, that he was in the shade of Hashem? So Rav Teitz Tzatzal answered that the Jews at the time were living in a status of that which he calls Nisim in the flows. And Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that the same thing could be true for the building of the Aron and the Mishkan thereafter. Let the Aron exist in a status of Nisim in the flows. And that was the Chiddush of Bezalel, that when it comes to strengthening Torah, we're not allowed to rely on Nisim and Niflos. We have to reach out with strong, united koiches in order to build and strengthen the strength of Torah. Our responsibility exists within our lives to turn around and not live on the Nisim and Niflos. We have to answer a call to action and to rise up, as is the case, and strengthen Torah. Lachshov Machashavos, the Torah tells us that Bezalel was also given the opportunity to think thoughts. Now, what's the chiddush in Bezalel's ability to think thoughts? Any person has to have the ability to think thoughts. If he doesn't have the ability to think thoughts, he's not a bardas. So Reb Schlesinger Shalita, the famous Rav of Gilo, the tremendous Talmud Chacham, quotes Rav Chaim of Volozhin. The story is told about Meshulach, who was involved in the Volozhin Yeshiva, who went to a particular individual who for years was donating money, donating and donating to the yeshiva. And then one year, the Mishloch came in a horse-drawn chariot to collect, and the donor did not want to give any money. And so when Rav Chaim Volozhiner himself went out to greet the donor, and the donor explained that he had become upset that when he wanted to give money, he wanted to give money to the ideal yeshiva. He didn't want to be paying the horse bills. He didn't want to be paying the horse bills of each of the steps in the yeshiva. Quite the opposite. That, says Rav Chaim of Volozhin, was his understanding of Lachshov Machshavos. The understanding that had to come along to explain that where each dollar was donated, that and how it was supposed to be utilized in the best way possible. That is to say, where Bezalel would figure out where each donation, based on its purity and motivation, would be best off in its use in the Mishkan. That's the Lachshov Machashavos, where it's supposed to go. Rav Schlesinger added that the same thing is true for Hashomer Shabbos. We say in the Smiros, Scharo harbe meod al pi fo'alo, that the Schar of the Shomer Shabbos is great based on its level of work. Says Rav Schlesinger, it's al pi fo'alo of the individual, the one who turns around and recognizes two people take off on Shabbos. But one person takes off on Shabbos to enjoy the nama of Shabbos, the Shabbos experience, and the other one turns around and says to himself, well, I need a day off, so I'll have a day off for Shabbos. One person turns around and gets excited, the other one has a challenge. The Torah continues and says, "Vayas Bezalel Aron." The Bezalel made the Aron, and when it came to the Klei HaMikdash, the furniture of the Mikdash, there's still a mitzvah to have them, even if they're not functional. And based on that, Rav Shechter once asked us why they didn't make an Aron during the Bayis Sheni period as one of the Klei HaMikdash. So fine, there would be no luchos inside of it because it was hidden, etc. But the Aron was still one of the kelim, it was still one of the pieces Let it exist inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rosh Hashanah quoted from his Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, who said that the Aron is not a Klei HaMikdash. It's a means of kavod, first of the Luchos and later for the Sefer Torah, but as a Kli, it's not a utensil. And so said Rav Soloveitchik, at least the way Rosh Hashanah told it to us, without Luchos and a Sefer Torah, there's no need for an Aron. And the Aron needs the Luchos in order to turn around and be a source of bris. Soloveitchik went on to explain, says Rosh Hashanah, that a shul also needs mispalalim and a yeshiva needs people to learn, or the yeshiva and the shul building are useless. We have a responsibility to own up to our situation, and we need a responsibility to make up and guarantee that we have the heart and the soul inside. Finally, and with this I will close out, this week is also Parsha Shkalim, and in the regard to the Parsha Sashkalim, we of course lay in a special maftir, but also a special haftorah. And the fact of the matter is that the people giving the monies to the Gizbarim should not be accused. Ki be'emunahem osim. They were doing their actions be'emunah. Now, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed out that when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe provided a detailed accounting of the Mishkan. Why do you have to do that? If it's be'emunah, hem osim, so lo yechashvu. We don't have to sit down and rethink the individual. So Rav Yaakov Zatzal answered that Moshe was not appointed by the people. He was placed upon the people by Hashem. And so in an effort to remove any degree of chashash by the people around him, on him, Moshe Rabbeinu chose to account for every penny that he used. However, in general, when communal projects are undertaken in honesty and in earnest, and those undertaking it are to be granted a cheskes kashrus. They're not to be accused, unless, of course, they have a piece in the pie. And so, therefore, we have a responsibility to follow through. Okay, well, we wish you all a Shabbat Shalom and a united hope for Misha Nechnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha.